This is the podcast for JNS Spine. Hello, this is Natalie Pincham, and I'll be reading summaries of articles on the lumbar spine, the cervical spine, and degenerative lumbar scoliosis, published by JNS Spine on August 1st, 2014. Decompression and non-fusion dynamic stabilization for spinal stenosis with degenerative lumbar scoliosis. A clinical article by Su Eon Lee and colleagues. Surgical strategy for degenerative lumbar scoliosis is controversial concerning the surgical approach, the fusion area, the decompression area, correction methods, and the ideal angle of curve correction. A non-fusion stabilization system with motion preservation has been recently used with favorable outcomes for degenerative spinal diseases. In this study, the authors applied decompression and non-fusion stabilization for spinal stenosis with a mild to moderate degree of scoliosis. In 28 patients, consisting of 21 women and 7 men, with a mean age of 65.3 years, 59 segments were decompressed and stabilized without fusion. The Dynasys non-fusion stabilization system was not used with all scoliotic segments, but limited only to the decompressed segments in this study. Asymmetric spacers were inserted, larger than requested on the concave side and shorter on the convex side of the scoliosis curve. Statistically significant improvement in clinical outcome was obtained at the last follow-up evaluation with no progression of degenerative lumbar scoliosis. Thus, the authors suggest that non-fusion stabilization after decompressive surgery results in a safe and effective procedure for elderly patients with lumbar stenosis with a mild to moderate scoliosis angle of less than 30 degrees. Mechanical yield of the lumbar annulus, a possible contributor to instability. A laboratory investigation by Brian Stemper and co-authors. This study is focused on determining mechanisms for segmental instability in the lumbar spine. The hypothesis was that yielding of internal annular fibers due to traumatic loading can result in sustained increases in annular flexibility. Increased flexibility will, in turn, contribute to segmental instability. In the study, isolated annular specimens were distracted to failure, and the mechanical response was measured. All specimens were obtained from young, non-degenerated lumbar intervertebral discs. Mechanical characteristics, including stiffness, yield, and ultimate failure, were different between specimens obtained from superficial and deeper regions of the disc. Interestingly, mechanical yield was evident in 98% of all tested specimens and occurred at 80% of the stress to ultimate failure and 74% of the strain to ultimate failure. The fiber modulus decreased by 34% following yield, indicating significantly increased flexibility. These results indicate that yielding of the intervertebral disc fibers occurs early in the mechanical response of tissues, probably before the initiation of damage to other tissues. Flexibility of annular fibers was significantly increased following yield. Therefore, yielding of annular fibers may lead to segmental instability, contributing to accelerated degeneration of bony components due to altered segmental load sharing. Increased incidence of pseudarthrosis after unilateral instrumented transforaminal lumbar interbody fusion in patients with lumbar spondylosis. A clinical article by Yakov Gologorsky and co-workers. Biomechanical and clinical studies that have compared unilateral versus bilateral pedicle screw instrumentation after transforaminal lumbar interbody fusion have produced conflicting data regarding patient outcomes and hardware complications. To determine whether outcomes are equivalent for patients with unilateral versus bilateral constructs, the authors conducted a prospective cohort study. They enrolled 80 patients and assigned 40 each to either bilateral or unilateral pedicle screw instrumentation cohorts. Standard baseline demographic data were similar for both cohorts. Scores for the physical component of the medical outcomes short form 36 improved significantly for all patients. Incidence of pseudarthrosis was 7 times more likely to develop in patients in the unilateral cohort than among those in the bilateral cohort. Reoperation was offered to 8 patients in the unilateral cohort and only 1 patient in the bilateral cohort. The take-home message is that transforaminal lumbar interbody fusion with either unilateral or bilateral segmental pedicular instrumentation is an effective treatment for lumbar spondylosis. However, because incidence of pseudarthrosis was significantly higher and the need for reoperation greater among patients in the unilateral cohort, bilateral constructs might be biomechanically superior. Pelvic reconstruction after subtotal sacrectomy for sacral chondrosarcoma using cadaveric and vascularized fibular autograft. A technical note by Christopher Gillis and colleagues. This article describes a unique technique for reconstruction following a partial sacrectomy for en bloc tumor resection. In achieving surgical cure, anatomical sacrifice is often necessary, which creates the challenging task of performing reconstruction in a way that preserves mechanical and physical function. Using a collaborative multidisciplinary approach with local plastic surgeons, the authors performed successful harvest and implantation of a vascularized fibula to serve as the main strut for motion segment reconstruction. This was augmented with a cadaveric fibula graft, and both grafts were held in place using rod and screw constructs. The technique used is described in detail, along with radiographic imaging and illustrations. Through successful use of the vascularized autograft, a superior biomechanical repair is achieved, in comparison with previously described techniques that rely only on the strength of rod and screw constructs. The vascularized bone retains the ability to remodel according to the specific weight-bearing mechanics of the patient. This is demonstrated through the increasing size of the graft over time on long-term radiological follow-up. The patient illustrated in this case has shown no disease recurrence and, importantly, has maintained long-term ambulatory ability. Effect of craniovertebral decompression on CSF dynamics in Chiari malformation type 1 studied with computational fluid dynamics. A laboratory investigation by Sven Om Linger and co-authors. In this paper, the authors report on their use of computer simulations to study the effects of craniovertebral decompression surgery on pulsating CSF flow dynamics in patients with type 1 Chiari malformation. By means of idealized models, surgical decompressions of 3 different magnitudes were investigated, comparing postoperative flow characteristics with each alternative to both normal flow and a preoperative flow in patients with Chiari malformation. The authors found that peak systolic velocities were generally lower in the postoperative models than in the preoperative Chiari model. The 2 larger surgical defects had peak systolic velocities that were closer to normal model velocities than the smallest surgical defect and equal to those in the normal model at the C3 and C4 levels. For the smallest defect, peak velocities were decreased, but not to the level seen in the normal model. In the postoperative models, heterogeneity in flow velocity distribution around the spinal cord increased from normal model levels as the degree of decompression increased. Pressure gradients in the postoperative models were lower than in the Chiari model above the C2 to 3 level. The two larger decompression defects had CSF pressure gradients below those in the normal model above C2 to 3. It was concluded that craniovertebral surgical defects generally diminished CSF velocities and CSF pressures. Thank you for listening. The JNS mobile app is now available in iTunes and the Google Play Store. Just search for JNSPG to download the app for your mobile device today. For more information on how to submit your research to the Journal of Neurosurgery, please visit thejns.org and click on Info for Authors.